Have you ever wondered why, even as more women break through the glass ceiling, reaching the top of most organizations remains challenging? Encouraging women to lean into leadership is all well and good, but at many organizations, structural barriers still limit women's rise. A solution may be found in the book, Building a New Leadership Ladder, Transforming Male-Dominated Organizations to Support Women on the Rise, by Carol J. Geffner. Carol is a professor at the University of Southern California's School of Public Policy, where she directs the Executive Master of Leadership program. Here she is to share five of her big ideas.
Hi, I'm Carol Geffner, author of the book, Building a New Leadership Ladder, Transforming Male-Dominated Organizations to Support Women on the Rise. I'm a global management consultant, an executive coach, and recently professor of the practice of governance and management at the University of Southern California. In writing this book, I interviewed women across the globe who, like myself, have been the first and only woman in the room in a range of male-dominated industries, from law enforcement and the military through to the sciences, politics, higher education, and healthcare. If you're wondering why I wrote this book, the answer is that I was curious. I knew from working with hundreds of women who have careers in male-dominated industries and professions that leadership success is not just reliant upon showing up with confidence, using your voice, and having a kit bag of tools. While these are all important, particularly learning leadership skills and building self-awareness, they are only part of the story. My research and interviews uncover the other part of the equation that hasn't been given much attention. The reality is that supporting women on the rise is not just an individual responsibility. It's a collective responsibility. It's not enough to master skills, develop expertise, and learn to speak up. Change that will make a difference and is sustainable require awareness and a commitment from men, women, and the organization. From a historical perspective, it's important to note that long-standing organizations were never designed with the needs of women in mind. Their structures and practices were originally developed years ago for the workforce that consisted mainly of men. Now in the 21st century and a post-pandemic era, it is the time to rethink and redesign organizations that support full advancement of women and diverse individuals. I'd like to share five insights from my book. First, the commitment to support women has to start at the very top of an organization. Helping women and other diverse individuals advance through all levels of leadership is an issue of equity. If executive leadership decides that equity is important and a priority, it's essential to define what equity means to that organization and why it's important. This kind of change has to ultimately affect every unit, department, and division. Change of this nature takes a very long time and a sizable investment of resources. Commitment at the top must be unwavering and consistent. Change fatigue will definitely set in, and the investment appetite will be challenged down the road. Leaders who are serious about making sustainable change will be tested, and they must hold strong. As an example, I've worked with many CEOs of medium and large organizations on complex change. It's almost predictable that at about 2.5 years into the process, the board or other governance body will start getting frustrated and want to cut back expenditures. In my many years of experience, when this happens, it is extremely difficult for a CEO and essential that she prevail and continue deepening the change initiative. A lot of change efforts fail because they stop midstream. This leads me to insight two. If you want change to stick, the leaders in charge must have an appetite to analyze and overhaul policies, procedures, and practices that relate to all aspects of talent recruitment, hiring, performance management, promotions, transfers, succession, planning, and training. This deep work is essential if there is a true commitment to rebuilding a foundation for women to not just get in the front door, but advance through the ranks, not fall off at mid-level management, and move into executive leadership. While you might also offer training classes on relevant topics, such as discovering bias and leadership, the stickiness of change happens when policies, protocols, and practices are redesigned to meet the needs of the changing workforce and support an inclusive climate. Insight three, change must be tracked and measured along the way. This means that realistic and relevant metrics and scorecards need to be developed, implemented, and tracked multiple times a year. The measurement of progress must start at the C-suite and also be implemented through every unit, department, and division. It's company-wide. Progress at every level should be visible across the business using posters, wall charts, and other easy-to-read visuals. In addition, executives and managers at all levels need to be held accountable for communicating, implementing, and driving results. Here's an example from healthcare. All hospitals in the United States are measured now on patient satisfaction. This is critical because their revenue is tied to increasing patient satisfaction scores. The best hospitals in the country not only are clear about what needs to be done to continuously improve, but throughout the hospital, there are large wall posters and placards that show detailed scores over time. In other words, there is transparency about what is being measured and how the organization is doing. This sends a strong message. Now to insight number four. Tie incentive compensation to progress. What do you think can happen when a manager's bonus is linked to measurable progress? Imagine how seriously people view a change initiative if their pay is involved and if they are acknowledged for making a difference. According to a Cornell study, offering a 1% raise in the form of a bonus that is strongly linked to a job well done can improve job performance by almost 20%. Here is a real example of how this was applied to an entertainment and media company. When I was in the C-suite of a large corporation, I introduced an organization-wide employee engagement survey. Every executive and all managers had a substantial percentage of their pay tied to progress, sometimes up to 25%. The employee engagement survey results were measured twice a year and communicated to all 10,000 employees. At every level, managers had money, which is translated to skin in the game. And last, insight number five. Since the pandemic, women have exited the workforce in staggering numbers. As of February 2020, the labor force lost over 1 million women, and that is just one statistic. While there are a range of reasons why this has occurred, an important one is that women are often knocked off course mid-career due to the demands of raising a family. This is a contributing factor to the slow advancement of women into senior and executive level positions. In an era of the Great Resignation, leaders have to be creative and open to work arrangements that meet a variety of needs and upend traditional practices. To retain great talent and build environments that meet essential needs of women, we have to build meaningful structural support, such as access to quality and affordable childcare, flexible work schedules, and acknowledgement of managers who actively support the advancement of women leaders as well as other diverse individuals. The workforce has fundamentally changed, and organizations are challenged to stretch beyond comfortable solutions and take a leadership position in supporting women on the rise. I hope you have enjoyed this summary of five big ideas of building a new leadership ladder, and I hope you enjoy my book. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Carol. That was five big ideas from Building a New Leadership Ladder, Transforming Male-Dominated Organizations to Support Women on the Rise by Carol J. Geffner. You might also like our book bite for Rising Together, How We Can Bridge Divides and Create a More Inclusive Workplace by Sally Helgeson. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.